Welcome to another episode of Living an Ultralife. My name is Mike, and this week you have me again. I know. We've had so many amazing guests that it's just blowing my mind. I had a friend ask me the other day, hey, how come you don't talk on your podcast anymore? And I was like, because I don't really have to. We have guests. We have people who contact me now and ask if they can come on the program. And it's pretty exciting where it's gone in 5 years. We'll be celebrating our five-year anniversary here soon. And I'm pretty excited about where it's gone. I could have never envisioned this, 5 years ago. But, God has a way of doing things that just blow my ever-living mind. So I haven't talked for a while, but this is going to be another one of my Coach's Corner thing. I'm titling this one, Train Like You Plan on Having Fun. This all kind of started. I watch a lot of how people post and stuff, both on social media. This is runners, how they post on social media and Strava. And I watch a lot of people that they're going out for runs and they're like rating their run like a 2 out of 10, felt like crud and ran a 5-minute mile, and which just cracks me up. But there's a lot of people that it's like, you're not a pro. You're out there running because yes, you have big goals and you have objectives and you have things that you want to hit, but this is not your job. This is something that you do in your spare time. And it's really something that I've had to learn because, I used to get so hyper-focused on my training plan and make sure that if it says I got to do a 30-mile run this week, then I do a 30-mile run this week because, I downloaded this training plan and I got to follow it to the T. And something kind of snapped in my brain probably about, maybe a year and a half ago where it was like, wait a second, this is supposed to be fun. Running to me is fun. It's that place where I go and have fun and I push myself to go further distances. And so when I finished the Dome 48-hour race, I was smart about my recovery, which may have been one of the very first times that I was smart about my recovery. And I actually had a plan going into the race about how I was going to recover. Isn't that a weird thing to do? Have a recovery plan so that you follow it just like a training plan. But then I knew exactly when my recovery plan was finished. I didn't really follow it to a T. It wasn't something that I had in writing. It was just something that I had set in my mind that this is what it's going to be like. And then I was like, middle of July, we're going to start training for the Haynesport 48 hours. So that's my next endurance event, the Haynesport 48-hour race in Haynesport, New Jersey. And when I began to formulate my training plan, I really wanted my focus on this has been endurance and durability. Because for me, I don't want to finish a race and do the big build for the race and be so entirely, utterly broken after the race that I can't go and enjoy a run afterwards. So my biggest thing was, okay, the whole focus of this training block that I started, I think the third week in July, was build endurance and durability. So everything, the whole build has been building endurance and durability. But when I started my training plan and I wrote down kind of how I was going to follow it and the structure of it, and really, really big black letters at the very top, all capitalized, I wrote, remember to have fun. And so this podcast is about train like you plan on having fun. It's about, this is not my job, so I want to treat it like something that I have fun. So on my training plan at the very top, it was remember to have fun. So then the next morning I was out running and I was struggling because heat and humidity is like my kryptonite. And I was just struggling and I may have even been whining a little bit, even out loud. And all of a sudden I came to a screeching halt. Well, as much of a screeching halt as you can make running 11-minute miles. And a huge smile crossed my face and I said out loud, have fun. This isn't your job. And that's when I started really thinking about what it would look like to train using the fun, F UN technique. So if you're running and you're doing this competitively and every single race that you race, you're on the podium and this is, you're going to make this your profession someday. You're going to sign that big contract. If that's you, don't listen to this podcast. It won't make any sense to you. But if you're running to stay fit, to run for mental health, or to run because being around other runners helps jumpstart your motivation, then this may be a good podcast for you. I would say there's a larger percentage of runners who train for and enter races to challenge themselves to do something that seems impossible or improbable than there are that are like, I'm the best thing since sliced bread and I'm going to go out and prove this. So this is the fun focus and how to train like you're going to have fun. So the F stands for focus on how the run feels. You know, if you're not smiling at the end of a run, you're not doing it right. Adam Glaze says it all the time. If you're not smiling, you're not doing it right. And I agree. So for me, we are so connected to everything electronic in this day and age that I think we forget to unplug and just feel what is going on around. People have told me that when they run, they're trying not to feel anything as running numbs the pain. And I get that. I've been in that boat too, where there were just so many emotions and mental blocks happening in my life that running was just that opportunity to just numb everything. So if you're there, you can still have fun. If you're just out there and you want to push yourself to do something impossible or improbable, have fun. And the fun part, the F part, is to focus on running by feel. I talked to a lot of people about this, and most people just think I'm a nut, and I might be. But there's an article out there. There's a website. It's called the Mindful Marathon website, and Coach Michelle is on there, and she wrote an article, Running by Feel, an Exercise and Observation Without Judgment. And she had this phrase that just really kind of struck the right chord in my mind, and it was, run an intuitive pace. So if you think about it, intuitive is by feel. Intuitive is something that you feel. Intuitive is not this science and got to hit this pace, got to have this heart rate, got to have this, all the electronics, just it's overwhelming sometimes. But running by feel only calls for us to be honest with ourselves and to acknowledge where our current fitness is. So that was a quote from Coach Michelle's article, and that quote alone sold me on her whole approach to running, because it's so important sometimes to put aside the metrics and determine just where you are at any given time, which means you have to be brutally honest with yourself. When I started my training block in July, I did not have endurance fitness. I had like short-term fitness. I didn't feel durable. I felt kind of broken and run down. And I know it's because I run a lot, but I just felt run down and broken. And I was like, I don't like this feel. And so I'd go out on runs and I could just feel everything. Everything, you ever go out on a run and it's like you can hear your joints like popping and stuff. And you're just going, ooh, ow, 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 ow. And I'm going, I don't want to do that. I want to run, be able to adjust my gait when I'm on the run, when I hear a slap or when I hear something that just, you know, sounds off or feels off. And I want to be able to know how to adjust that. Well, if all I'm doing is paying attention to the stupid watch on my wrist or the phone in my pocket and the electronic reminders and stuff, wow, I'm never going to be able to feel that. And so I really, this whole training block has been amazing because, you know, I'm not trying to get you to buy into mindful running. That's a thing now. You can Google it and find out. But I'm trying to convince you that you don't have to have access to your training stress score, your weekly training load, your load impact, your base fitness, your intensity trend, and all the other metrics. That's not the end all to be all. I'm not saying there isn't a place for them. I'm just saying that until you learn to feel your run, to know what it is you're feeling as you run, you're going to be missing probably the most important part. So when you set aside all the electronics and you just focus on what you're feeling, that's a good feeling. I call them my naked runs. It's when I turn off my GPS watch and I take off for a run, or I just forget to turn it on because, you know, I'm not going to glance at it anyways. And naked runs are the best runs I have because it really is about, I'm out here running. I feel the hot, humid wind in my non-hair, and I feel everything around me. I hear the sounds of traffic around me. I hear birds chirping in the air. I get to see some of the most beautiful sunrises in the world, and I'm feeling everything. And one of the deep feelings is I'm feeling grateful that I can still do this at 61 years old. It surprises me sometimes when I get back from a naked run and chart, well, how far did I actually run? And I realize, oh, wow, I just ran, you know, 6 miles in an hour. That's a fast time for slow Mike. And I find out that I feel better at the end of these runs because I've felt everything and I've adjusted my gait and I've adjusted my stride, and I do it with a smile on my face, and I come home with a smile on my face, and I go through my day with a smile on my face because, wow, that felt good. And so my definition of a great run is when I stop and I feel like, wow, I could keep running forever. And I either have to stop because the race ended. It happened one time at the end of a 24-hour race, and it just happened to be the 24-hour race where I set my personal best of 92 miles. And at the end of it, I was just like, wow, I actually have to stop, but I could keep going if I wanted to. It felt great. I felt fantastic. At the end of my first Swami Shuffle 200 miler, I felt like I could keep on going. I was like, I could turn around and go do this again. It felt great. And it's because I wasn't really paying attention to all the data on my watch and everything. When you can call your pace in any run without once looking at your watch, that's when you know you've nailed this running by feel. The other day, I did an 8 mile run, and at mile 5, I was feeling so good. I said out loud, I said, this is a 10:43 pace day. I hadn't once looked at my watch. It was on, but I hadn't once looked at my watch. When I stopped my watch at the end of the run, I had run 10:44 per mile. So when you can call your pace, you know you're running by feel. I know what my body feels like when everything is going great. I also know what my body feels like when everything is falling to pieces and I'm on the struggle bus. Learn to recognize and adjust to your feelings. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. The U in fun training is understand what is important and what is information overload. Have you ever looked at all the data that can come from your GPS watch? I love data. I'm a data nerd at heart, and I geek out like nobody's business over stats and data and numbers and all that kind of stuff. The only challenge is that in today's running world, there's a plethora of data. So with all the data available, how do we sort through the noise to identify what's truly important and what's just information overload? An article on the run to the finish site is a great starting point. And this is a very in-depth article. It's called Run Data Analysis, How to Use All That Info from Your Watch. And it is a very in-depth talk article about all the data from a running watch. But it can help you get started on figuring out what is important. And I think one of the quotes that I took away from it is, pick a few pieces of information to focus on consistently. And I've written about this before, but I think it's worth repeating. I've probably talked about it on a podcast before. Every body is different. Not everybody, every body, every single body type, every single body composition is different. Therefore, what's important to another runner may not be important to you in your running journey. I follow ultra running pros. I have a bunch of ultra running pros that I follow. I love watching their data. I love seeing their data. I love seeing what they're putting up. I'm never going to be one of those ultra running pro athletes, elites. I'm not going to be them. So when I try to be like them and run like them and eat like them and fuel like them and hydrate like them, I fail badly because I'm never going to be them because my body is not their body. Also, I'm a 61-year-old, and I'm in this flock of everybody seems to be in their 30s and 40s, and they can fly. I mean, there's a bunch of just absolute speedsters out there who I get around them, and I feel like a sorry excuse for a runner because I probably can maintain a 10-minute pace. I don't want to. I don't like going that fast. I like going in my 11.5 to 13-minute pace. That's comfortable for me, and I can do it forever. I can do it for a really, really long time. But, you know, you get around these people and you geek out, and then you begin to, you know, put on runner's shame because I can't keep up with them. And then I realize, oh yeah, I'm 61. And, you know, a lot of these people I hang out with are young enough to be my kids. So let that sink in for a while. So I think it's just important to understand what pieces of data are important to you, to your body. You got to understand why you run, and that's the why. And I'm going to say something at the end of this podcast, so it may turn some people off, but I'm just going to say something about the why at the end of this podcast, so get ready for it. But I think sometimes that trying to identify the why of running makes it easy to get involved in information overload. And what I want to convince you of is to check out of the information overload thing and identify just one or two or three key pieces of data that are important to how you run and why you run and what you're hoping to accomplish with your runs. When I started focusing on the pace that feels right in motion to achieve my race goals, that was the first bit of information that helped me have a lot more fun on runs. Did you hear that? I didn't focus on their pace. I focused on the pace that felt best during my runs and could help me achieve the goals that I wanted to achieve in my races. I'm not focused on anybody else's race. The best t-shirt I found when I was 47 years old was a Nike t-shirt that I found at a thrift store, and it said me versus me. And I adopted that forever. I don't even know if that's still a thing. But it was like, you're not going out to run to compete against other people, to compete against the top people out there, to make, you know, the people who don't run as fast as you feel like crud. You're out there, me versus me, challenge yourself to be the best and encourage everybody around you to be the best them they can possibly be. So pace was important to me, and it's one of the metrics that I track, but it's my pace. So the second metric that helped me know pace by feel and probably was way more important was knowing what my heart rate was and how it felt at different times. Yesterday, I was out running Dismal Swamp, Washington Ditch Trail, and I had a heart rate spike because I almost stepped on a stake. And I jumped up in the air and I screeched like a little girl, and there may have been some inappropriate words that fell out of my mouth, yelling at this stupid snake who's out in nature doing his thing, sunning himself on the nice path that I'm trying to run by. It took me a mile to get my heart rate back to where I wanted my heart rate to be. And guess what? It wasn't because I was looking at my watch. It was because I know how my heart feels when I'm moving at my pace now because I feel it. I feel the heart rate. I don't have to look at my watch. I know that if I can keep my heart rate under 130, I can consume enough food to keep me moving efficiently for 12 to 20 hours. And then at some point, I've got to slow it way down from there so that I can pack in a huge calorie load at that point, you know, anywhere in that 12 to 20 hours. And that heart rate has to get down into the low hundreds. Between, you know, 95 and 110 is the spot in order to just eat a ton of food. And so I know how the heart rate feels, and I'm going to encourage you, look at your heart rate. If you want to train by heart rate, there's a lot of different things on there. You'll hear at the MAF training mode. There's a lot of neat heart rate training plans out there. Follow them. but learn to know how your heart rate feels, and then you'll have it a lot better. This is one of my key gripes with GPS watches. GPS watches come out of the box and they're programmed with the goal pace and everything based on the top marathon runners out there. And it's marathon runners, which I don't know where the ultra, you know, where that came from, because I'm not a marathoner. I'm an ultra marathoner, which means that my pace is not, you know, I'm party pace to a marathoner. I'm one of those people, when I run a marathon, if I ever decide to run another marathon that's an official marathon, I'm going to be the one that they make fun of, because your 5-hour marathon isn't even running. You're right. But a 5-hour marathon when you're running 100 miles, pretty daggone fast. I'm just going to tell you, you can adjust the settings on your watch. You go into the app on your phone for your sports watch. You go to settings. Once in settings, you can adjust everything to fit your preferences. So what I've done is I put my heart rate preferences and my pace in there, and that's when I get the data from the app on my phone off of my watch. It's based on my settings, not the store settings or the watch company settings. Okay, and nudge yourself to do just a little more. Never settle for good enough or comfort. We were not designed to settle for comfort. Have you ever noticed how people want to be comfortable? I don't ever want to be comfortable. I want to get so comfortable with being uncomfortable that uncomfortable is the thing. When I've been on my feet for 24 hours and I know I'm going to be on my feet for another 24 hours before I can stop, my mantra, my happy mantra, is never settle for good enough. Quite frankly, that's my mantra when I'm out for a hot and humid coastal Virginia summer day run and I've been out for an hour and it feels worse than a 200-mile race. When I'm in that zone of this is impossible, I nudge myself to do just a little bit more. So this, oddly enough, came to me one night when I was watching The Chosen with my incredible, beautiful, forever girlfriend, Bride. And we watched the show act out Matthew 5:41. All right. If that's a familiar verse. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. And I realized as I watched Jesus and his disciples carry the Roman soldier's gear, not for a mile, but for another mile, that's also a secret to running. It's not that somebody's forcing me to go 1 mile or 100 miles. However, it's a straightforward reminder that if I choose to go the extra mile, to do the extra bit of work, that's my choice. And now everything is on my shoulders. I doubt my interpretation of this verse will ever make me a Bible scholar, but it does make every distance I run just a wee bit more enjoyable. And when I'm enjoying the mile I'm in with the nudge to go one more mile, I don't think about the next 100 miles or the next 36 hours or the next 3 days of a 6-day race. I'm fully present in this mile, this hour, and I'm going to nudge myself to go just a little bit further. So that's the definition of fun training. So focus on the feeling. Go out there and understand what metrics are important and then nudge yourself to do just a little bit more. That's fun. So I talked a little bit about the why. So this came to me the other day. I think I was at Trashmore doing long run up and down the hill. And, you know, when I'm out running, I'm having fun, but I'm also thinking. And I was thinking about, I've been seeing a lot of this, like in runs on Strava and social media posts. There's a lot of people trying to figure out why. And I think that's the wrong question. Here's my take on this. If you're so ultra focused on why you're doing something, you're missing the whole point. Focus on the who, and the why will take care of itself. See, when I began focusing on who is it that I'm trying to draw closer to, who is it I'm trying to be more like, who is that one person in the history of the world that if you could say who's one person you want to be like, who is that one person that you want to be like? For me, that person comes in the form of a savior, and I want to be more like him in every single way. So when I begin to focus on the who, the why falls into place. Now, you may not want to hear that, and that's okay, but I just think if you're struggling with the why, turn your focus to the who, and the why will naturally fall into place. So that goes along with fun in some weird way. I'm not quite sure. But you'll all figure it out because that's what you do. You're a bunch of incredible people, and I appreciate all the attention that you've given to the Living in an Ultra Life podcast over the last 5 years. And, you know, we're going to keep on rolling with this thing because I don't see any end to it. You know what? Go out and have some fun while you're running. That's it for this week's episode of Living an Ultra Life.
Thanks for listening. Really appreciate you guys. We'll see you next time on Living an Ultra Life.